Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 25th of Elul. Today we're going to discuss Rav Avadia Yosef's perspective on saying various kinds of prayers or viduim, articulations of sin, between sets of shofar blasts. Let's just remember that we blow different sets of shofar blasts both before the Musaf Amidah of Rosh Hashanah and then during the Musaf Amidah. Now, some people blow it in the silent Musaf Amidah as well as the repetition of Shmoneh Esrei, of the Amidah, and some do it only in the repetition and then some afterwards as well. So the ones before the Shmoneh Esrei are called Tekiyot de Miyushab, because theoretically one can be sitting for those Tekiyot, for those blasts, and those are seemingly an addition. Those weren't the original sets. That will come up in the Tshuva as well as to whether which are the obligatory ones which fulfill the obligation. But the question was, between those blasts, could one say some kind of a prayer? There are those who say various kinds of prayers between the blasts there. And Rav Yashiv, who has since passed away, but this is from Chaf He Elul, the 25th of Elul of Tufshin Yud Chet of 1958, from Yabia Omer, Chelek Gimel Orachayim Simon Lamed Bet, from the third part of Yabia Omer, the Orachayim part in chapter 32 there, from a time when both Rav Yosef and Rav Yashiv were much younger men than they would later be in their lives. And Rav Yashiv had written to Rav Yosef about Yabia Omer, Volume 1, in which Rav Yosef had said that really we shouldn't be saying any kinds of viduyim between the Sidre HaTikiyot. And the reason, he said, was that when we set up different kinds of tekiyot. Now, some of this depends on how you do the tekiyot, meaning we commonly, or the shuls that I've been in, commonly will do tekiyah, then shivarim trua tekiyah, and then tekiyah, shivarim tekiyah. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. Our orders are one whole set will have three times where the middle blast will be a shivarim trua, then a set where the middle blast will all be shivarims, and then a set where the middle blast will all be truos. So each of those sets has different kinds of a trua. And Rav Yosef pointed out that this is based on the fact that in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Avahu said in Kesaria, in Kesri, that he didn't know which version of trua. By his time, if there had been a tradition, or we assume there was a tradition, but that tradition had been lost, we didn't know which kind of trua qualified as the proper trua in the blast, and therefore you did all three, meaning there were those who held that trua should be a sobbing sound, like a trua, like what we call a trua. Some held it should be a crying sound, like what we call a shivarim, and some held it should be a crying sound leading into a sobbing sound, what we call a shivarim trua. So we do all three. The question is, why do we do all three? Rabbi Avo in Kesri in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled sounds like he didn't know which was which, and therefore, in order to be sure we get it right, we do all three. If that's true, Rabbi Yosef says, then we make the bracha before the blasts, before the blowing that we do, before the Amidah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, those groups are, there's one group of Shvarim Truas, there's one group of Shvarims, and there's one group of Truas. If we talk in between, then what that means is that we'll be talking between the bracha and the fulfillment of the mitzvah, because we don't know how we're fulfilling the mitzvah until we do all three. So that's Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef had said. And that's in contrast to, there was an opinion of Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon lived in the late 900s, right? But and he's an important figure, but Rav Yosef pointed that other people, other Rishonim, didn't accept this view of Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon's perspective was that any one of these three will fulfill the mitzvah. That in fact, when Rav Yosef says we don't know which one, that means that it became sort of open. It became sort of acceptable. There are lots of versions of Teruot that are all acceptable. And if that's true, whatever version you do is an acceptable version. If you held that way, then once one has done the first set, the Shavarim Trua set, it's true that we're going to then do another set, but you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, so that you're not interrupting between the bracha and the mitzvah. That was what Rav Hai Gaon had held. It's also true that the tradition was that the Ari, right, the early, the Kabbalist in Tzvat in the 16th century, had said a vidui between the blasts, So that would seem to say that it's okay to do so. So Rav Yosef points out that he was doing it based on the Zohar. In the Zohar, it says that we need, that it's not a question of a suffix, it's not a question of we don't know which is right, it's that we need all of them. The Zohar had held that all three kinds of true would have to be blown. And if that's true, then it becomes like if you say a vidui, if you say some kind of articulation of sin or other prayer between sets of blasts, then you're interrupting, it's true, but you're interrupting in the course of fulfilling a mitzvah, after you've already started the mitzvah. Meaning, I make a bracha on blowing the shofar. Then, or the man blowing the shofar makes a bracha on the blowing of the shofar, and then blows a set of tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, 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 shvarim, tkiah, 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 shvarim, tkiah. What has happened until now? So, Rav Yosef is pointing out there's lots of possibilities. One possibility is that while we're not sure which set of, what kind of tkiah is the right kind of tkiah, we follow Rav Haigon, and Rav Haigon holds that any kind of truah can fulfill it. So according to Rav Haigon, what has happened is we made a bracha, we fulfilled the mitzvah, now we're going to perform more versions of the mitzvah because we'd like to, but we've already fulfilled the mitzvah. For him, there's no issue of interrupting between the bracha and the mitzvah. Rav Yosef had not accepted that. He thinks that the general opinion does not follow Rav Haigon. He thinks the general opinion is that we don't know which fulfills the mitzvah. We're not sure if the trua, if that middle kind of blowing of shofar should be a shavarim trua, or should be a shavarim, or should be a trua. And because we don't know, we're going to do all three. If that's true, then after the bracha, until we've done that whole set, we don't know that we've fulfilled the mitzvah yet, and therefore we don't know if we've connected the bracha to the action of mitzvah. That's why Rabbi Yosef thinks we can't talk. For the Ari, however, who says all of it is the mitzvah, and he says it based on a Zohar, that all three kinds have to be done to fulfill the mitzvah, then once we've done the Shvarim Trua kind, we've done part of the mitzvah, but not all of the mitzvah. And it's much, there's much greater leniencies in terms of prayer-type talking once one has fulfilled part of a mitzvah. So that's the way he would understand it. But Rav Yosef points out, but that's not relevant to us because the Ari followed the Zohar, even if it's at odds with our Gemara. But our common practice is not to do so. That our common practice is that if our Gemara says something and the Zohar says something else, we follow the Gemara. And our Gemara, it says, according to Rav Yosef's understanding of the way the Rishonim understood the Gemara, the Rabbi Avo had a continuing doubt about the right way to do it. Rav Yosef responded to this claim of Rav Yosef that he knew of at least two sources that seemed to disagree with Rav Yosef. The Magen Avraham quoted a shla that said you can say these kinds of prayers, and the Magen Avraham didn't disagree. And Rav Yaakov Emdin and his Siddur had quoted this as well, and then the Mishnah Berurah brought in the Shaar HaTzion and said, and therefore in a place where that's the tradition and that's the custom, there's no reason to object to it. Now when you say there's no reason to object to it, it sounds, Rav Yosef had said to Rav Avadya, that that means that we think that our Gemara is open to and doesn't contradict the custom of the Ari. Even though the Rambam makes it sound like it's a doubt. We don't know which way to do, and therefore we're not sure which one is right, and therefore we can't be confident that we fulfilled the mitzvah until and unless we've done all three. But maybe at least on a d'oraita level, you'll fulfill it based on the suffix on having done it in one of the possible ways, and therefore it would no longer count as interrupting between the fulfillment of a mitzvah and the performing of the bracha. That's what Rav Yosef had said. So now Rav Yosef's response to that claim of Rav Yosef's. The first part of Rav Yosef's response had to do with the question of, I think Rav Yosef had said, well, you know, if you're thinking that there's a suffix about which one you're being yotzei with, so let's say the right one is the shvarim one. You'll have done a whole bunch of shofar blasts in between that aren't the right ones. So Rav Yosef's point, I think, was that therefore it must be that hefsek isn't such a big deal because that's clearly not what's going on. But Rav Yosef wants to point out that no, it's different here, that the shofar blasts have a different function. So he says that, for example, there's two opinions in the Ma'abit and Kiryat Sefer, but the first one was that min haTorah, you have to worry about kol shofar, right? But he says that's only before Rabbi Avohu required blowing all of them. But after he required blowing them all, and they're all different kinds, so we see that the first group are, his plan is not to be yotzei with them unless they're the right ones. And therefore means that if they're not the right ones, he's sort of nullifying them. He's not being yotzei. I'm sorry. I think what Rav Yoshevitz said, that he in some sense has been yotzei to begin with, right away, with the first group. And Rav Yoshevitz says, no, it's not true. He says, once Rabbi Avo has decided that we're not sure which are which, then that means that if the Tashrat ones aren't the right ones, then you're intending not to be yotzei with the Tashrat ones. And since we think, so he says, because we hold that the mitzvah of shofar needs kavana, needs intent to be yotzei, that's what we hold, at least lechatchila, then you're not yotzei. And then he quotes a Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's a very famous Rabbi Akiva Eger. Then when it comes to Kiddush, there's a big question about people, many go to shul Friday night and davening, and part of the davening Friday night is the form of Kiddush, is Vayichulu, that we later on say in Kiddush, but it qualifies as Kiddush on a Torah level. On a rabbinic level, there's a requirement to say Kiddush over wine, but on a Torah level, the man has already been yotzei. That becomes a problem because then he comes back to the house, and in most homes, the man then wants to say Kiddush for the whole family, but the women there are also obligated in Kiddush, and the general assumption is they're obligated in Kiddush on a Torah level as well. So you have a man who's only now obligated on a rabbinic level to say it over a cup of wine, trying to be motzi, trying to say a Kiddush that will help fulfill the obligation of a woman who's obligated on a Torah level. There are many answers to that question, but Rabbi Akiva Eger's answer was that since the man knows that he's going home and he has a family at home that he's going to say Kiddush for, he has implicit kavana, implicit intent not to fulfill Kiddush by saying davening Friday night, because he needs to say Kiddush Derabanan in his makom seuda, and therefore the Chasam Sofer added that it's as if there was a condition made by Chazal. It's not even like this person has a condition in mind. There was a condition made by Chazal in general so that you should have Kiddush on wine in the makom seuda, and therefore that takes away the problem of having fulfilled it in shul. And then he quotes another shu'at Divrei Mordechai Friedberg, who held that that's true of all mitzvot, meaning that in all mitzvot, if there's a well-known reason that somebody's going to fulfill the mitzvah later on, then an earlier action that would seem to fulfill the mitzvah won't count as a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And he says that's true here as well. And you got to imagine, he says, that there's no way that somebody can be forced to fulfill a mitzvah min haTorah, that you do an action and you don't want it to work and it's going to work against your will. He says nobody holds that way, and he leaves that part of the discussion. So now when it comes to, he says, but there's a sukkah discussion that might seem to go against that. The Gemara in sukkah says that Rav Yossi says, if somebody on the first day of Sukkot that happens on Shabbos forgets and carries his lulav outside in a place where there's no Eruv, so the Gemara says, Patur Nesha Hutzio Bir Shut, that he's Patur because he had the right to take it out because he was doing it for the purposes of mitzvah. There's a whole complicated discussion about if somebody's planning on doing a mitzvah with something, what does that allow them to do or not allow them to do? So the Gemara says, what mitzvah do you mean, as soon as he picked it up, he was yotzei the mitzvah? He already fulfilled the mitzvah of carrying a lulav, of taking a lulav on Sukkot, and therefore he's no longer taking it out to fulfill the mitzvah as part of the fulfillment of a mitzvah. And the Gemara answers, Abaye says, no, it's talking about where he turned the etrog upside down, so that which is what we do today before making our brachos on the lulav and esrog. So that's what Abaye says. He has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. So Rav Yosef says, but according to what I just said, what's the question? Why don't we say, since the chatchila, you should make a bracha in the right way, and this person who's taking the lulav out is presumably going to learn how to say the bracha the right way, right? In the days before you had Sidurim, only the very educated people might remember from year to year how you take a lulav and how you shake it and all those right kinds of things. So this person who the Gemara is talking about, who forgets that it's Shabbos or forgets you're not to carry on Shabbos and takes it out, is presumably going to learn the right way to do it. Because if he knew the right way to do it, he could have just done it at home. So why don't we just say the fact that he's taking it out to learn how to do it should be like an implicit condition, an implicit understanding that he doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah yet? Why does the Gemara say he took it upside down? Why didn't the Gemara just say this answer? So the Gemara. So the Rav Yosef says, because here it would be that, because that would be harder, because the bracha's connection to a mitzvah is much more tenuous. It's a lechatchila. It's preferable, but if it's not done, it's not done. And there are rishonim, there are poskim. Rav Yosef says it's really most of the poskim who hold that you can, as long as there's more mitzvah to be done, make the bracha even after you've carried. So this whole worry about making the bracha beforehand is preferable. But if somebody already picked up a lulav and never made a bracha, as long as you didn't yet do the full ni'anuim, meaning you didn't say a full halel, which is all the shakings that we want to do with it, you could still make the bracha on it. So if that's true, then the bracha's relevance to it would be the same thing, and therefore they prefer to say that he literally didn't fulfill it, rather than he just had intention not to fulfill it, because that would be harder to find that situation. Now, when it comes to shofar, part of the whole discussion is that when it comes to shofar, there's also a question as to whether incorrect shofar blasts interrupt or a problem for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of a shofar, and therefore you got to say you're not yotze with tashrat, and you have to not be yotze at all because it's a wrong blast, and you have to wait completely until you get to the next set. So that's dependent on our understanding of a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says if somebody heard 9 shofar blasts in 9 hours, so 9 shofar blasts really means a tekiah, a proper trua, whatever that means, and then a tekiah, 3 sets of that in the course of 9 hours, meaning all day, there's no issue of hefsik, waiting too long. There are those who held that's only if there wasn't a break with another kol shofar. If there wasn't a break with another blast of the shofar, but if there was, then that would already get in the way, and you're not going to be yotze until you have the 9 in a row. So that would mean that you couldn't really just say, well, let's the tashrat wouldn't be a problem. If you, let's say you did tashrat and then tarat and then tashat, let's say, and you did that 3 times over 3 different areas, so there would be all those who would hold that doesn't work. That would be a hefsek, right? That's the problem that he's having here, so that's going to be a problem for his discussion of these sets of shofar blasts as well, because it would mean that the tashrat is like completely getting in the way, and that's the way he thinks that we seem to have it. Shulchan Aruch says that if you blow 9 times in 9 hours, you're yotze, and then he says, v'yesho mrim, didavka shili sig b'kol shofar sheinei ro'oy. It's only if you didn't stop with a kol shofar sheinei ro'oy that's not proper and not appropriate, and it seems like that's the way we pass it. That's why, for example, Rav Yosef doesn't say this, but when Rav Lichtenstein, Zeichel Tzadik Livracha, used to oversee the blowing of shofar at Yeshivat Har Etzion, if somebody made a mistake, if the Baal Tekeya had a problem with the blowing in the course of the whole set, he would go back to the beginning of the set, meaning it's common today to go back only to the beginning of the line, let's say. So if I'm trying to blow, I'm going to blow 3 times, tekiah, shvarim trua, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim trua, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim trua, tekiah. So if the person blowing the shofar makes a mistake in the shvarim trua or in the tekiah, it's, I think, common to go back to the beginning of the line and start from the tekiah again. But according to Rav Yosef, just inferred from the Shulchan Aruch's psak that really follows the Ramban, that if there's a wrong blast, it gets in the way of all 9 being valid. It would mean that even if I'm in my 3rd line of tekiah shvarim trua tekiah, or my 3rd line of tekiah trua tekiah, I'd have to go back to the beginning of the 1st line because I need the 9 blasts to happen with no wrong blast in between. That's what Rav Yosef is pointing out here, and would be relevant to his question of what can we interrupt with or not interrupt with, and all those kinds of ways. And the Morgan of Rum actually says that Rav Yosef says he thinks that this is true of the tekiah to miyushav as well. It's true even in the blast before the Shemona Esrei, right? And we can't say, you know what, we'll get it right when we do the tekiah to meumad, the tekiah in the course of the Musaf prayer or in the course of the Chazar Sashat of Musaf, Shekevan Sheberech Al Elu Tzarech Lasot Al Kahoket. Since you made the bracha here, you have to make sure to do them right as well. So, and even in the Mu'bad, you have to go back as well. I'm sorry, this is Ravi Al Yashiv writing, I think. But then in the Mu'bad, you'd have to go back as well because those are the central ones. So that means, he's quoting somebody else, but I can't tell who from my excerpts of this tshuva. But that means that if the main mitzvah is in the Tekiyot Me'umad, then maybe there's room to save it in Tekiyot Me'yushav. If you interrupt with prayers, that's such a big deal. Because after all, the prayers are in the course of the Tekiyot that aren't the central Tekiyot. And all the more so, according to the Lavush, who said that the whole takana of the Tekiyot Me'yushav, of the Tekiyot before Musaf, was to confuse the Satan. And if you're going to follow that line of reasoning, then you'll say the whole reason we make the bracha before the earlier tekiyot is just because once you're going to do an active mitzvah earlier, you make the bracha on that earlier one, even though it's not the central one. That's an example of that comes up in the Pesach Seder. We make the Bori Pri Adama on the Karpas, and we don't. And really, it's a Bori Pri Adama that's to apply to the Maror as well later on, but we're going to eat it only to the end. So why do we do it earlier? Because we end up eating a vegetable earlier. So there's the Birchas Hanan, and you could have argued about it, but that idea that if we end up doing a mitzvah earlier, even if it's not the main performance of the mitzvah, and the essential fulfillment of the mitzvah will be later, that idea is coming up here as well, that even if the later blowing of the shofar is the main one, and we're doing this now only to miss up the Satan, since it's an obligation, though, and a rabbinic obligation, therefore, you have to make a bracha. But if that, all that's true, it would seem, this is Rabbi Yashiv, that we could say prayers in between, because it's not so essential to say, to have it be free of interruptions. Why isn't it essential not to... Why is it not so essential to be free of interruptions? Because after all, it's not the essential blowing of shofar. Rav Yosef points out that certainly Rav Yosef knows that's not absolutely agreed by everybody. Rabbi Yishaya had written that the brachos aren't ma'akev, saying it with the brachos isn't ma'akev, meaning it is what he means. The brachos of Musaf Shemoneh Esrei, right? The way the tradition is from the time of the Mishnah that we say it with zikronos, shofros, and malchios. Malchios, zikronos, and shofros. Rabbi Yishaya says that's not so, that's not essential. And since that's not essential, then it means that the ones we say before Musaf are actually the ones that fulfill the mitzvah for us. And since that's true, you don't have to make a bracha on the second set that you blow during the course of Musaf. And then he says, and therefore you can even talk between the sets of, after having done the Tekiyot Me'yushav, you can talk before the ones of in the Amida, because you know the bracha didn't need to apply to it, which is a counter our tradition. We very often will say to people, make sure not to speak because that's an interruption. So Rabbi Yishaya didn't say that. The Itva and the Meiri and Reina Tam seem to have all held that the Tekiyot de Me'yushav were the essential ones, which would then go against Rav Yosef's idea that since the Tekiyot de Me'yushav, the ones before the Musaf Amida, aren't so vital, that therefore it's not such a big deal if we say Biduim in there. That's the first part of his response, is that it's not so obvious that that's true, that the ones of Me'umad are the essential ones. And the Magen also had said that since the bracha came for these, even if that was only because we happened to end up doing the bracha, the act of mitzvah early, in a way that's not the essential way to do it, but we're doing it anyway, so therefore we're going to make a bracha on it, even if that's what we hold, that's what the Magen says, but you then have to do that active mitzvah properly, including with a bracha. If that would be true, then we're going to be yotzei with these tekiyos. We're going to be yotzei with the tekiyos, then we have to do it in the right way. And then in the notes here, they have that the Shoel HaMeishiv, Rabbi Yisrael Nottenzon, had said that he thinks that if you have a bar mitzvah who wants to blow shofar, that he could blow the second group, so the tekiyos de me'uma, the tekiyos that are during the course of the amidah of Musaf, or the repetition of Musaf, even though with a bar mitzvah boy, we're always not positive that he is physically an adult. We know that he's reached the age of 13. We assume that he's also physically mature, but it's not positive. So there are various situations where we're worried about letting him be the vehicle of an entire community fulfill their obligation. Because in Shaul Nutzen and Shaul Moshe, though, it said that in terms of blowing shofar, he should be able to blow the ones Adim Umad. And remember that we've said before that we think those are the essential ones, but Rabbi Shaul Nutzen says since the Tekiyos de Me'yushav, the ones before Shemoneh Esrei, fulfilled our obligation already, then he can do this one. So that shows that he's holding that even if it's true that the essential ones should have been the Me'umad ones, once the Me'yushav ones, the before Musaf ones were instituted, they become a full fulfillment of the mitzvah, and therefore for Rabbi Yosef would involve the requirement not interrupt between the various sets. He's also not sure, even if you follow the Zohar, as the Ari did, that all of them are necessary to the mitzvah. It's not so clear to him that just because one has started a mitzvah is in the middle, that one is then allowed to speak. Because, for example, he says, the Tshuvas HaGaonim has it, that when you're checking for chametz, one should not speak other than what's relevant to the mitzvah itself, should not speak, should not interrupt, and if one does interrupt, one has to go back and make the bracha over again. So applying that to Kiyas Shofar, you'd say, you shouldn't be speaking other than what's directly relevant to Kiyas Shofar, and that's not going to be doing it for reasons that we'll see, but and if you did, you might have to make the bracha over again. So too, and even though he says, halakhically, we don't go back and make the bracha over again, but it shows us that we should be worried about this issue of not interrupting. And not only that, it's also true that the viduyim, so you can say, well, the viduyim are part of doing tshuva, and blowing a shofar is about doing tshuva, so this is not an interruption. So Rav Yosef says you can't do that, because that gets into the question of tashinan tama dekra, the question of whether we allow ourselves to assume we know the reasons for mitzvot. Because after all, when the Rambam said that the reason for blowing shofar is to wake us up to do tshuva, and if that's really the reason for the mitzvah, you can say that my viduyim are really part of the mitzvah, and it's not an interruption at all. But the Rambam doesn't say it, as Rav Yosef points out, he doesn't say it in Hilchos Shofar. I'm sorry, he doesn't point that out. I would point that out. The Rambam doesn't say it in Hilchos Shofar, and Rosh Hashanah, he says it in Hilchos Tshuva, because it's an issue of Tshuva, not of Kiyas Shofar, and the Rambam says it's not the mitzvah of Shofar. He says it's a remez, it's a hint of the mitzvah of Shofar. Since it's a hint of the mitzvah of Shofar, then we're not allowed to do it for those purposes. V'lachain, and therefore, even according to Rav Haigon and those who are with him, who hold that any one of them is fulfilled the mitzvah, we still shouldn't interrupt with the vidui, because we're going to say all these kinds of things. He wants to go on, he says, but I don't have the time, and I'm going to have to do this another time with you, but these are my responses to you. And therefore, in sum total, he thinks, Ikar Adin, the essential halacha should be that we should not be interrupting ourselves with vidui and with articulations of sin between the sets of shofar blasts. We should only be thinking such things and not talking and saying them. But he'll say, I want to let it be known that I never meant that we should forcefully stop people from doing it if they have the cup to do it. However, their custom, they follow the Minhag Ari, and then they have the Ari, who's a worthy source of support for their perspective. I didn't mean to get in their way. I just meant to say that we should let them know that those who really care about halacha should probably not do that, because our version of halacha, our practice of halacha, is not to follow the Ari, since he's following the Zohar, which goes against our Gemara, and the proper practice would be to stop doing that, to refrain from doing that, and therefore not to have the problem that maybe we're interrupting in the course between the reciting of a bracha and the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now he says, and he says, I've seen this in other tshuva that he writes, we should say this in a calm, gentle way, because that's the best way to ensure that people will listen to it and accept it. And the words of Chachamim are listened to best when they're said calmly and pleasantly, the way the Talmid Chacham is supposed to act. It's supposed to speak with each other gently and nicely in halacha, and Hashem should help us all, etc., etc. And he closes with, you know, blessings and good greetings and all this thing. But fundamentally, Rav Yosef thinks that what's going on at the beginning of shofar blowing is that we're doing tikkios to miyushav. They are a subordinate set, but we follow the view of Rav Haigon that we don't know which true is the right true, and therefore that should mean that we're not sure that we have fulfilled any version of tikkias shofar until we've done all three sets, all three kinds, and therefore we shouldn't be talking at all between them, because that should be an interruption between the bracha and the shofar blowing. And that is a response of the day, Rav Yosef, on the topic of saying viduyim, of saying various kinds of prayers in the course of blowing shofar before Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. That is our response of the day for the 25th of Elul. Have a great day.